How the world is controlled. We'll start by talking about how power is shared and exercised around the globe. First, let's look at polarity. This refers to how power is distributed in the international system. A unipolar system has a single superpower, like the US after the Cold War. A bipolar system has two superpowers, like the US and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Finally, a multipolar system involves several powerful states. Next, we have the concept of core versus periphery countries. This is a model that shows the divide between wealthy, influential nations, the core, and economically disadvantaged ones, the periphery. Core countries have advanced production and benefit more from global trade, while periphery countries rely on low-tech, low-wage labor. This is part of dependency theory, which suggests that rich countries exploit poorer ones. We can also think about great versus small powers. A great power is a country that can influence global affairs with its military, economy, and diplomacy. These countries are often recognized in groups like the UN Security Council, NATO, G7, and BRICS. And finally, a client state is a country that is economically, politically, and militarily dependent on a more powerful controlling state. This is a way for powerful nations to exert influence without direct military action, to secure vital resources, or to serve as military outposts, the tools of influence. Hard versus soft power host. Now, let's explore the tools countries use to get what they want. Hard power is the ability to force other nations to act through military and economic means. Examples include military interventions, economic sanctions, and trade tariffs. In contrast, soft power is about attracting and persuading other nations through a country's culture and diplomacy. Think of the global reach of Hollywood, the popularity of K-pop, or a country's moral authority through ethical actions. A specific example of this is foreign aid. It's a transfer of resources from one country to another, often with specific conditions. It can be used as emergency aid during crises, or as development aid to support a country's economy. While it can signal diplomatic approval, it can also be controversial due to concerns about corruption and dependency, rebuilding and reviving host. Our final segment is a look at how cultures have rebuilt and revived after destruction. We have many historical examples of buildings that were rebuilt, often with great care to preserve their original design. The White House was burned down by British forces in 1814 and was rebuilt by 1952. The Basilica of St. Paul in Rome was destroyed by a fire in 1823, but was fully reconstructed by 1854. And the Yellow Crane Tower in China, originally a military watchtower from 223 AD, was destroyed and rebuilt multiple times, with the current structure rebuilt in 1985. Similarly, empires have tried to revive previous glories. The Byzantine Empire successfully revived the Roman Empire for over 1,000 years. The Song Dynasty revived the Tang Dynasty culturally, but was weaker militarily. And the Neo-Assyrian Empire revived an earlier empire and was very successful for a time, but ultimately fell.